All right, everybody, this is the Georgia Songbird, and we are here with Mr. Jordan Gillis from Maryland, right?
Originally from Maryland, but now actually.
All right, where are you at now?
So I'm actually in Northeast Alabama, so I'm not too far from you, maybe. I know you're in Georgia, so.
Right.
But I'm in Northeast Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah I'm in so. Northwest Georgia, so
in the middle
we're
of
close.
In the middle of nowhere.
Me too. So that's
okay.
where.
Yeah, you're not far at all. Yeah.
Between your internet or mine, we mine to go out. I've got a horrible internet, horrible. And I always tell people, like, with this.
I got lucky with mine. I have this.
No, it's lagging. I can tell.
I was saying I got lucky with mine. I have this. There's like I have T-Mobile, and there's like a T-Mobile tower, like right by our house. So we actually have fast internet, which is surprising, you know. So somehow got lucky to be in the middle of nowhere with really fast internet. So.
Yeah, not me. Mine is horrible. I'm in the middle of the woods and I get like 10 if I'm lucky. And so what I
Oh,
do with
really?
these, yeah, I always put just the audio. So I never use the video. I'll pull the audio out, I'll edit it down, and that's how we do the show. Tell everybody about yourself, Jordan.
Well, my name is Jordan Gillis. I'm a multi-instrumentalist. I play guitar and I sing. It's my primary two instruments. And I write songs and I write songs in different genres of music. And I've been a full-time musician since for a long time now. And so that's what I've always done is music full-time and still doing it.
Now you get to play your solo stuff, but you have a band too, right?
Yep. We have Jordan Gillis Band, and that's a band I put together in Maryland. So I'm putting together another version of Jordan Gillis Band here. And I'm good friends with the guys, obviously, that I had the band with in Maryland. So we get together and we still play around and do that. And I still go back to Maryland from time to time and do a couple of shows there. But I'm trying to build a band out here and looking at cities like Nashville and Atlanta, which aren't terribly far from me. And there's other smaller cities around too that I don't know. We both, you're in Northwest Georgia. That's really not far from me at all. You're probably 30 minutes from me because I'm literally 20 minutes, I'm in Georgia.
Yeah, I bet you're pretty close because I did a show in Alabama. I went to play, and it was actually, it surprised me. It's only like an hour away from here. It was closer than going to Nashville. It's pretty, I don't remember the town now, but I just remember it was like we went and played at an art show. That's where we were playing, or it was a song right around. I was playing at it. And it was just, to me, Alabama was one of those areas I didn't think about. But it's pretty close for music. So, but how's the music scene for you out there?
Right now, so I have a steady gig here every Friday, and just started playing around here. As far as the music scene, I think it's growing. I think there's a strong desire to grow the music scene here. You know, but I didn't come here exactly for the music scene. I came here to in my opinion, like just how you drove like an hour to go where you're going. Anywhere worth going is, you know, if it's not worth driving 2 hours or so to do it, then you know, I don't need to do it anyway. So I figured, you know, if I'm two hours from Nashville, 2 hours from Atlanta, you know, from the bigger cities where a lot of stuff is happening, that's fine. You know, I used to think I needed to be like right in the city or right there. I think it's actually better to kind of have this central location to where I can kind of hit everything. And so the music scene here is pretty cool. There's a lot of good musicians here, and I've made a lot of good friends here already. But it's fastly growing. I really expect the area that I live in to be kind of like a, I don't know, maybe like an experience like an Austin, Texas type style growth or something like that. That's what it feels like to me, you know. And there's a very strong demand for the music and a very big appreciation for it here. But it's still a small town, you know. So, and it's a lot of small towns that are growing fast, but still kind of small, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always, whenever I do these shows, always like there's two things I always ask my guests is one is of course share with everybody, but two is pay it forward. So if you have any singer songwriters, artists, bands that you know that you're finding out there, send them my way. Have you found anybody that you really like local playing around?
There's a guy, there's a guy who I'm the guy who I've talked to you the most about is a guy named Chris Roberts. He's actually gave me a a lot of work here teaching people. And he also gave me a study gig at his restaurant. So I played at his restaurant every Friday. So I teach with him at his studio, and it's called Chris Roberts School of Music. And I teach all kind of instruments there. And there's, I have about 30 something students there already. And then also plan this steady gig at his new basically restaurant. It's a pizza restaurant that he has, basically, and I play there every Friday. And so that's pretty cool. He's been very extremely supportive and a big part of the success and survival here so far. And so Chris is a good friend of mine. So he's the first guy to recommend that I can think of, because and beyond that, I haven't met too many people yet. I mean, but Chris has been as far as music goes, he's been the nicest guy, most supportive guy that I've met so far,
Okay.
for sure.
How many instruments can you play?
I play guitar, bass, piano, ukulele, and voice. So that's about it, I think. I can hold that. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a drummer, but I can hold down a beat. But I kind of think of music as, these instruments are just tools, right? So if you're a carpenter and you say, I only hammer, I don't saw, you're not really a good carpenter. So to me, an instrument is a tool. Not to say there's nothing wrong with just playing one instrument, but I kind of view the instrument as different instruments as, tools for music,
I agree 100%. Like I'm trying to teach myself the drums. I'm not for, I can't keep a steady beat yet. I've been trying. Like when I write my music, it's funny because I grew up writing and I never had a drum beat. But you give me a drum beat, I
Right.
can fix it. You put me on the drums, and it's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
I'm slowly getting there, but I'm teaching myself the drums. I can play guitar and bass, and harmonica. I'm learning harmonica and I'm playing that too, just to kind of, like you said, give yourself more range to do stuff. It's funny, in my band, when I sing, because I have to be a singer until I get somebody else, I prefer being in the background, just playing a guitar and writing music and doing that. How about you? Do you like being the front of the band and the singing and all that stuff?
I do actually like being in the front. I feed off of the energy of the crowd, and I didn't think I did. So when I first started playing, I was kind of lying to myself. And that, for me, personally, I would kind of be in the back. I'd be in the back, and then I just wanted to play guitar, maybe sing harmonies, and I just wanted to be the best guitar player that I could be. And I didn't think of myself as a front man. But I don't know, something one way or another, the energy just keeps shifting to me. And I just think I'm naturally a front man somehow. So I just, the more energy the crowd gives me, the crazier the crowd gets, the crazier I get. So for me, I do think I like being a front man. I like being in front. And I feed off of that energy.
Okay. What made you want to start playing guitar and writing songs? What inspired you to start doing all that?
I always wanted to do it. And then it's funny because that video game Guitar Hero came out, and a lot of my friends were playing it, and I wasn't any good at it. And then I thought it was like, okay, well, I'm just going to get a real guitar and see if I can do that. And then I got one, and then I remember me and a friend of mine, we both got guitars that day, and I think he already had a guitar, but we both bought a guitar that day, and that was my first guitar, and it was just like this magical, like it was a cheap, Walmart Starcaster. It wasn't even a Stratocaster. It looked like a Strat, but it was called a Star. And one of those real cheap guitars that comes with the DVD. That back then, the DVD that teach you how to play was just, something you couldn't do. It's just a guy doing something ridiculous and not teaching you anything about slowing it down. So I watched the DVD for like a second, and then I just tried to play on my own because I didn't understand the DVD. But it's just that cheap guitar with that terrible little 10-watt Fender amp that. The little 10, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but it's a little 10 watt amp that everybody kind of starts with. And that's what I started with it, but I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. Just the guitar just seemed so amazing to me that I had one, it was like, even that little 10 watt amp was amazing to me, and I just started playing, and then I just decide I had pretty decided pretty quickly that that's just what I wanted to do, pretty
Did
much.
you keep that guitar?
I didn't. I think I gave it away to my cousin and then got it back or something. And I don't know if he still has it or something. I think I gave it away to my cousin or something like that.
See,
Can't remember.
I want to get those cheap guitars and then buy some like the expensive pickups and put in there and
Yeah.
see what they sound like. And I bet they're amazing.
Yeah. No, they make a whole thing, especially for Stratocaster style guitars. You can just. The pickups are already in the whole body. They make this little body, and all you do is you screw out the white part or whatever that part is, and then you just insert the whole entire. You don't have to install the pickups at all. You don't even have to solder them together. You just it literally goes right into the guitar.
Really?
And yep, it's I know DiMarzio does that, where they make these. It's like it comes with the entire. I have to show you, but it's like the white part that goes into the Stratocaster,
Like the
you know,
board or something, right? The
the board, it just all goes right in. You take the piece off of the that you already have on there, and then it has another board and it just goes right in there. So anybody can install. Yeah.
That is cool. I have to look into that.
Yeah.
See, I play more acoustic, but I've been
Yeah.
digging into electric. My daughter, I taught her how to play guitar, and I showed her on the electric because it's easier to hold the strings down. I said, learn this way, and I taught her free falling so she could kind of do
Yeah.
the motion. And then I go in there and she's playing Come As You Are, you know, by Nirvana. So she's like, duh. And then she
Right.
started diving into the humbucker and all the pickups they have, and she's telling me all this stuff. I had no idea because I've always stayed on acoustic, and I know
Yeah.
enough about electric to play it, but I don't know how like all the details for the pickups and all that stuff. And so I started looking at it, and it's like that's really cool. So that's why I said I watched a video, on YouTube. A guy had taken a he did it with cheap pickups. He had like a an old like Stratocaster guitar. Like a student version, and then he put in like he had the humbucker what was it? I don't remember the number, but he had like a really expensive pickup in it, and then he bought a cheap pickup from like Korea and put it in there, and it sounded amazing just putting the cheap stuff in there, and you can tell a little difference.
Yeah. No, I have a cool story about I bought a cheap guitar from it was like a cheap Schecter guitar from a pawn shop for like $120 or something. But it had whoever owned it before had put really nice pickups in there. And the pickups themselves were Seymour Duncans, and they were at the time worth probably about $200. So the person selling it didn't know. And I just, you know, I was young. I just bought it. And then I realized that the pickups in there were worth more than the guitar. So I took them out of the guitar and put them in another guitar and then put the cheaper pickups back in that from I had another similar guitar. I put those cheap pickups in there and put the nice pickups in the other guitar, and then I sold the other guitar back for kind of like the same thing that I paid for it. So I kind of got some free, really nice Seymour Duncans out of a cheap guitar, you know, one time. I felt so smart, you know, back then. But
And
yeah.
yeah, that's what people, I mean, you don't think about you going to a pawn shop, you look at the guitar, but the electric guitar, it's not the guitar, it's the pickups that's in there. And I don't think, I'm pretty sure that most pawn shops owners do not know much about pickups, so they could probably sell the guitar. Like I bought the only guitar I ever bought from a pawn shop was an Ibanez Iceman guitar. It's black and it has like the red strings, and I bought it for the because of what it looked like. I thought it was cool, and I plugged it in. It was so cool. Well, let's listen to one of your songs. What we'll do is we'll play like three of your songs as throughout the episode, and we'll talk and more as we go, and get to know Jordan. Now it's easy to remember your name for me because my best friend, his name is Jordan, so it's easy to remember
You
your
say
guys' name.
he's your bassist and your best friend?
Yep,
Or
he started the band with me in 2017, but I knew him a little bit longer than that. I met him, I guess, for 15 years because I met him when I met my wife. She was friends with his wife at the time, and that's how I met them. Because you know, most singer songwriters and artists, we're kind of introverted. We don't talk a lot to other people unless we're on stage. So she introduced me, and we started talking about music, and we hit it off. So yeah, he's my bassist. He plays saxophone, bass, and he's been with me since like 2017 in the band.
Oh, very cool. I'd love to hear more about your band also
Sure. I'll let you hear
sometime.
some of the stuff at the end.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up Spotify so we can listen to your music, and I'll share the screen.
You can even use YouTube as well. I have some music videos on YouTube versions
Okay.
of some of those
Do you want
songs.
to do that? Because Spotify is acting weird on my end for some reason.
Yeah, sure. Let's try YouTube. I have for two of the songs, I have music videos. So,
Okay. Like, I'll get to see
yeah.
them. For everybody else, you have to go to YouTube and watch. Go to George. What's your YouTube channel?
My YouTube channel is Jordan Gillis. Just Jordan Gillis, just my name. And then you can type in Jordan Gillis Band. That's really easy to find me if you type in Jordan Gillis Band.
Okay.
And then same thing on Spotify. My name is Jordan Gillis on Spotify.
So while I'm looking for that, Jordan, what's the first song that you want to do?
Well, let's start with the first song I came out with. I guess we'll do Problems, which is the first single I released as a solo artist. Let me hear the
I did. I was like, I hear a cat on there. I was looking around for
cat. Yeah, it's
mine, but I
a
was like, well, I'm in the studio. I brought it out here so that I wouldn't see the cat. So normally, if I do an interview out here with a cat, then he'll walk right in front of it, and you'll see nothing but his ass the whole time.
Oh, really? Yeah. Luckily, I'm up high, but this cat is a outside cat. Well, it's our cat, but it just kind of hangs outside and it comes in at night. So she just kind of patrols the area, kills rats and things, and chases things. And then, really great cat. A really great cat. It could be a house cat, but it likes being outside. And
I remember when I moved out on my own, they didn't want me to be by myself, so they bought me a cat. It was an outdoor cat. He would come in at night because he'd climb. I was living in a little trailer. He'd climb up through the bathroom. So he'd come through the bathroom counter every time. You hear the cabinet door in the bathroom just close because he'd come in. And then he would only come inside when I was eating. He'd come in and he'd shit and then he'd go back outside every time I
It's
was
funny,
eating.
cat. Yeah, cats do weird things. Like I have one cat in the house that whenever I'm on the phone, it just starts making a whole bunch of noise, and only when I'm on the phone. So I don't know. Cats do these peculiar things. They just each and they're all different.
So we're gonna listen to Problems. Like I said, being a songwriter myself, I like to hear the stories behind the song. So what's your story behind Problems?
Okay, well, yeah, this one, a lot of my songs come to me in a dream. So I'll be dreaming something and then I'll have a bass line or a melody or something in my head. Now, this song, I had the bass line in my head, and you'll hear the bass line. And so in my dream, it's funny you mentioned the gazebo because the earlier, because there's this, it, like I literally had a dream that there's this band, this local band that I knew of guys who I kind of view as kind of, they're pretty good. And they were playing the same scene that I was playing, and I w and they were for some reason rehearsing in this like treehouse style gazebo in my dream. So I walk upstairs and then I go up and I see them in there rehearsing and they're playing this song, and I'm like, man, this song sounds pretty good. I'm like, they got a really good song there, and I'm like, and I was jealous that I didn't write that song. I'm like, man, I wish I had wrote that song. But this is all a dream. So then I wake up and then I realize like a minute later, it's like, oh, I guess I did write this song because I dreamed that. So, and then so it just had this bass line. They had these harmonies. I didn't have lyrics for it yet, but I had the melody and I had the bass line to it. And I've lost a lot of good songs by not recording my ideas right away. So, because they'll just, if you wait, hear them in a dream, you think they're there, but they go away quick. So I just decided I've got it recorded and then had that bass line in which developed into this song,
Okay.
basically. Yeah.
It's funny you said that. I had a dream maybe about a year ago. I was at a concert and with Rihanna. I don't know why I was with Rihanna, but there was this music playing and she's jamming and she was like, oh, it's really good. And then I realized, like you said, it was my music, it was from my band. I was like, oh, that's a good song. And so I woke up with the song still in my head. And by the time I got to the guitar, I lost it. I'm so mad.
It happens. It's just like you're trying to get it back and you're trying to find it. But yeah, I've lost a lot of good songs that way. I've written, but a lot of them I've recorded. So I'm thankful the ones I've gotten to record, that I've been able to jot down, And I've recorded four more songs that'll be coming out soon as well. This video, actually, the Problems one, actually, a producer in California actually discovered me. His name is Michael Blue, and he found this video. He's produced Kobe Calais, he's done Jason Mraz, he's done his big, he got all he, his big success was with Kobe Calais, actually. And he got her first hit. He wrote that song Bubbly. I don't know if you know that song, but
Do.
And so that kind of got him on the scene. And so he's done Macy Gray, Lil Wayne records in his studio. And he just called, he called me and we were talking. And then because he liked the hook on this song, and he said, and what he told me was, he's like, look, he's like, I, you know, he's like, I, if you're a good songwriter, he's like, I want to work with you. And he's like, that's, he's, and he really liked the chorus of this song. And so he checked out my other songs, but he really liked the chorus of this one. And so because of this song, I was able to go out and record in California with a really awesome team of guys and get some really cool stuff done. So it's yeah, it's been cool.
That's a really cool story. What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute us, and since it's YouTube, it may do a commercial, but I said I edit all this down before it's released. You're going to have a couple months before it gets out. I'll let you know. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share this. Just I'm going to mute us and share it, and just give me a thumbs up when you hear it.
Thank you.
your voice, the falsetto stuff, it reminds me, like, when listening to the kind of groove, is almost like a Maroon 5, you know, Adam Levine kind of sound with the high. I can't do it. I'm not even gonna try to make it that I can pretend to do that. I really like that.
Yeah. Well,
I have to ask you a question. You're coming up the step. Did you miss the step on one of those takes? It looked like you missed the step.
I don't think so, but you never know. I don't know. I don't think so. But maybe I got to look back at it again. I don't think I missed a step, but that would be funny if I did.
Because it looked like it's the first take that you're doing where you're walking up the stairs and you kind of did a little jump and then you smiled a little bit. So I was like, I wonder if you missed the stairs and they got it on video and left it.
That would be funny. Now I gotta watch that again. I don't think so. I think it might have been something that been like the streaming that kind of made it look maybe look like it, but I don't think so. But that would be funny, you know. If there was a lot that I did learn from that video from doing that, it's because that was my first video, and I did learn a lot from doing it. And if I did miss the step, that would be funny to leave that in there. I would probably. I think I would tell, hey, leave that in there. I want them, you know, see, I don't take myself too seriously. You know, I can make fun of myself, but yeah, I don't think so. But yeah, it's, I learned a lot from doing that first video. And, so, you know, it's requires a budget, requires coordinating a whole bunch of people and, it's, you know, a lot of work.
Who did the video for you?
There's a guy named, the guy who did the video is a guy named Kenny Kingsborough. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, and he's from the same town I'm from. I'm from a little town called Dundalk, but I'm from the Turner Station part of Dundalk, and he's from the Dundalk part of Dundalk. And but anyway, he's his name is Kenny Kingsborough, and he's a multifaceted engineer. You know, film. He does music. He does mixing and things like that. He'll do videos and just anything involving editing, any that kind of software, he's good at it, you know. And so he's the first guy that I worked with.
Yeah, because I know that as songwriters, I mean, that's one of the things that is a tool that we have to use. That it's for hard. I mean, it's hard for me to figure out like the video stuff because you're playing, right? So you got to get other people to do it. So anytime I see that, I always ask people to kind of give shouts out, and that way maybe they get business or stuff. Because I like the video. I thought the quality was good. I thought everything was I could tell the story. So the story by the video, it seemed like it was about a jealous woman, just like she was always following.
Right, something along those lines, yeah. And it's just I the story really didn't kind of develop until we started doing the video. And the girl was actually a really good actress, and she did a really good job, kind of. They kind of told her to kind of just play like a crazy person, and she was like, "Oh, that's comes naturally to me." And so she just did that. She did really a really good job. And then but the kind of idea is kind of in the end, I kind of overlook, you know, her flaws at the end or something. So it has a nice ending. It's not, you know, it's not bashing anybody. It's kind of like we're, and in the song I say everybody's crazy, you know, in this world that we live in. So mm-hmm. just kind of got to find the person that matches your
crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So
it takes time sometimes, people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's kind of what it's the first one was about.
Well, yeah. I love the solo. Like I said, you can really shred on the guitar, so you do good job. I'm a rocker at heart. I mean listen to me talk, it's country stuff comes out of me. I can't help that. But the rock, I love rock music, and I love solos, and I'll put solos in songs. I'll put two solos. I don't care. I just love hearing that stuff in the songs. It makes it flow to me.
Yeah. Hey, and that one does have two solos in it. It has a little short solo in the beginning that's more major tonality, and then the second one is a more minor tonality and solo. Yeah, so that one, just like you said, that one has two in it, and I don't know how I squeezed two solos into a 4-minute song. And still had the chorus in there, but because when you start adding stuff, then your song gets to be like 5 minutes and something. And then if you're trying to keep it short, you know, it's hard to, you know, but somehow I managed to do it. And but yeah, I started off as a guitar player. I didn't even sing. I sold myself short. I didn't think I could sing I thought maybe I'm okay, but I didn't think I was a good singer. And then I didn't know until I kept being put in these situations where I had to front the band, where I actually could sing. I was selling myself short, basically. And that's one thing. If I could go back, I would stop selling myself short earlier. And I would have just worked on everything that I can do, and not, working on the guitar specifically, which is, but then again, maybe I wouldn't be as good at guitar if I didn't kind of focus in on the guitar early on in my career. So you never know.
See, I've tried singing without the guitar in front of me. It's so weird if I don't have the guitar in my hands and I gotta sing. It's like, I know it's a crutch. If people say it's a crutch because you're playing, it keeps your hand busy. So you need to be good at it a little bit, at least decent at it.
If you can feed off the energy of the crowd, it's like I'm always looking at the crowd and for energy, and just if I'm playing for no one, yeah, I don't like to do it. But I mean, well, I don't like to play for no one at all. But if I'm playing for people and they're and I can look at them in the face and see how their reaction is, that kind of keeps me going. So if I didn't have the instrument, which there are some times when I don't have the instrument, because I've been in a band where I was fronting it and no instrument at all, because they already had a band and I knew a bunch of the songs that I actually played them and sing them, but they already had the band, and so I knew a bunch of their songs, so I fronted that band. It was like a corporate band. So I just fronted the band basically without any instrument or anything, because they had their set way of playing the song. I didn't want to mess up the song by
Right.
adding to it, and so yeah.
Now, do you do like get to play just your originals out, or are you doing covers and stuff too?
Well, my goal is I want to do just my originals, but I've all covers have always helped me pay the bills, and so my plan is that this is literally the last year that I'm doing covers at all. But I'm doing it to kind of pile money up, honestly, because it takes money to do these music videos. It takes money to do to get your stuff recorded in the right way. And for me, I've been a full-time musician, so I don't have another career to kind of fall back on for money. So, I just play get you know I'll play. My goal is to play as much as I can this year, and then after that, I'm done. And so I have other things that I do, and I do believe that this is the last year that I will be doing any covers at all, and that I will just be a full-time focused on my originals 100% whenever I'm playing in any live situation. That's my plan.
I always have like a challenge that I give the guests, and if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But I always give people like a cover challenge. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a big cover guy, just because I never could do it justice anyway. So if I'm gonna do a cover song, I'm gonna change it to make it fit me and my style. Like I'll do When Doves Cry, and I'll slow it down, or I did Danzig Mother, and I slowed it down, made it more bluesy and stuff. So I have a challenge for you, and there's no time limit. I said, if you don't want to do it, you're not gonna hurt my feelings. I'll think of a song as we listen to your stuff, and you do a cover version of it your way, however you want to do it, as long as it's your way. And then we'll share it and we'll tag the artist and stuff. I'll put it on my TikTok and all that, Instagram and everything, and tag the artist, and maybe they'll see it.
Okay. All right.
So
Let's see
I
what I can
think it.
do. I got my guitar.
Go
Got
ahead.
a guitar right over here. So.
Cool. And I said, you can do it any way you want, and there's no time limit. And somebody actually gave me a challenge for the first time. I said, okay, well, I want you to do one, Jesse. I'm like, okay. And they gave me ABBA, Winner Takes All. And I'm like, how am I going to do that with my voice? And so what I did is I took the guitar and I tuned it way down. It's like C sharp. And so it sounds dark and gritty. And I started playing on it. And then I saw that guy from American Idol, I Am, whatever his name is. And he did that song. I was like, well, crap, I can't put it out now.
Hey, you never know.
But I'll think of one as we go. And I'm kind of leaning. I know which way I want to lean now. But what we do, I'm going to ask you a question. I always like to enter. I can't really see. Maybe you can see this. Is I have what's called the Wheel of Death. I always put like a 20. It's questions that I interact. I started doing it this way instead of doing it at the end, is interacting throughout there. So there'll be like a random question, just to get to know you a little bit different, a little bit more, a little bit different about you. So, and here's goes the Wheel of Death. It's a little. What's a vivid childhood memory?
Vivid childhood memory. Well, I can go to I have so many, and I'm trying to, and for some reason, my mind is going blank right now. Let me think about that for just like 15 seconds. Let me see.
Okay, sure. That's why I edit these
Oh,
down so you have time.
my.
I tell you,
Yeah.
while you're thinking, I'll tell you about one of mine that I had.
Okay.
When I was I lived in like South Georgia when I was first born for like 5 years down in Putnam County, close to Macon and Milledgeville. I don't know if you know where that's at. But we had like an 18-acre farm. We had cows and chickens and we had all that stuff. And I remember, and people have heard the show, they've heard the story, but I remember my papa teaching me, want to teach me about an electric fence, right? He didn't want me to touch it. So the way he taught me was he said, I want you to put your hand and your knee on the ground. I want you to grab this wire, Jesse. I'm like, okay, papa. I grabbed that thing. Now, this was an electric fence that you used to keep the cows back. I was like 4 or 5 years old. I grabbed that fence. It shocked the hell out of me. I'm crying and I'm like, good. And he's like, now you know not to touch it. And I'm like, why don't you just tell me not to touch it? I'm wiping away tears. And that's one of my most favorite memories as a kid.
Okay, well that gives me an idea. That's I'll do one similar to you. When I was a kid, there was a place called Heckinger. I don't know if they had them right down in your area, but it's like a basically a Home Depot type place. I think they're out of business now, but basically it was like a Home Depot, but it was called Home Depot or Lowe's, you know. But it was called Heckinger. That's what it was called. I never forget what it was called. And I'm in there and I'm riding around. You know, I used to go in there and ride around on those carts that, you know, you use to push lumber on. And so somehow I slid off of it, went head first, slid across the ground, and then slammed into this steel thing that holds up wood and stuff. Busted my head open. I still have a scar on my forehead from it, and I busted my head open, and I got 5 stitches in my head. And so, and it's funny because I was just in, and I remember the pain. I just remember what it felt like. It felt like I just had like a headache. And then I remember being at home, and then I just kind of remember what was going on around the house at the time. We had like a, you know, those racetrack things. It's like a magnet racetrack where the cars ride on this little
Oh, yeah.
magnet type thing. We had that for some reason in the house, and I just remember playing with that and having this big old patch on my head. And then recently I saw a guy, a kid just running around doing the same thing I was doing. And I just told the father, I was like, hey, look, I was like, see this scar on my head? I was like, it's like, I'm not telling you what to do. I said, but it's like when I was like about his age, you know, I'm not saying the same thing's gonna happen to him, but basically, I busted my head open and I have this scar from that. So I just like, just, you know, think about it. You know, you could fall off those things and bust your head open like I did, you know. So.
One of my mom's favorite pictures of us is when we was a kid. I was probably 3, 4 years old, probably around the same age as when I touched the fence. And my sister, who's 6 years older than me, so she had to be, what's that, like 9 maybe. Well, she's missing her 2 front teeth. And I have like the day of the picture, we had like a fireplace where I fell off the bed and I hit my head on the fireplace, like a big goose egg on my head. And then I fell into the TV. So I got like a black eye. And so we had to get pictures taken. And so I'm all beat up and Tracy's missing her front teeth. That was mama's favorite picture of us. I don't know where.
It's funny.
Kids,
Yeah,
we
that's it.
live.
Yep.
What's the next song you want to listen to, Jordan?
I guess we can go do Overstand. That is the second song I came out with. And that one is more influenced by that's more of a kind of like a reggae vibe to it. If you talk to people from Jamaica, you'll notice they'll say overstand sometimes instead of understand. And I was asking like what they meant by that. And basically, overstand is like a deeper version of understanding. You know, and this song is kind of just about me trying to understand or overstand what's important and really important, truly important in life. And you know, it's got a even like you know it's really about that, and it's everybody's version of that is different, you know, what's important to them, and basically, yeah, what's so I'm basically throughout the video I'm just asking Lord or whatever you believe in and to for it to help to understand what's to help me to overstand I've been trying to overstand, but I don't know if I'm doing it right or not. And that's kind of the overall kind of meaning of it. Yeah.
See, I like that. I talked to a we had a guest on here one time. He was from I think he was from, what was that isle? He was from, like, I think South Africa. And it was funny because he spoke French, and he could speak a little bit like broken English, but it was funny. We listened to his music, and he did like reggae and stuff, and he called it something else. But he taught me some words, like Shaba was like king in Jamaican, meant king. And we were listening to his songs and his telling a story. And I said, between your accent and mine, I said, I don't think anybody's gonna understand what we're saying, but we'll do it anyway. We'll have a good time. And his music was so good that it was just, even though I couldn't understand what he was saying, I could feel it. And that's what I like about music.
If you hang out around Af just on that, if you hang around African people, actually, African people do, most of the time there will be the music they like, they can't understand what's being said in the music either. And they just enjoy the music. And so you think that they understand it, and a lot of times they don't, because there's so many different languages. These particular, I have a lot of friends who are actually Kenyan, but up in Maryland, and they'll be listening to music, and they're like, we don't understand what song is, what they're saying. We just feel the song, you know? So that's just something interesting to note. You know,
Yeah.
a lot of people don't understand what's being said, and they can still enjoy the song. So,
Well, yeah, look at the opera. I
yeah.
mean, you go to the opera and they're singing in Italian. I have no idea what they're saying, but you can
Right.
feel what they're saying.
Yeah.
That's
And a
what
lot of
music is.
times in German too. They're singing a lot of it in German too,
Yeah, my
in the
wife
opera.
is from Germany, so she probably understands a lot more than I do. I know when she gets mad at me, she starts cussing me in German. I know she is. I tell her what she's saying.
Oh, really?
I will
Cool.
mute us and play Overstand.
Lord, please won't you help me to overstand? Lord, please won't you help me to overstand? I've been trying for quite a while, but I failed. I've been trying for quite a while, but I failed. The dumb man thinks him rich, but him in jail. Oh, him need for the Lord to pay him. please won't you help me to overstand? I've been trying for quite a while, but I ain't fit. I've been trying for quite a while, but I ain't fit. The dumb man thinks him rich, but him in jail. Hear me for the Lord to pay him bill. He's been trying for quite a while, but he'll fail. Trying for quite a while, but he failed. You know you're the one for me. You know I cannot see. You know I need you. So you guide me. Oh, you know that the world is tricky. You know that the world is sticky. And you know I.
So I love reggae music anyway.
Oh, cool. Cool.
I really like the you can't be mad listening to reggae. It puts a smile on my face right every time. I mean, how can you be in a bad mood grooving? Oh, I love it. I love reggae. Do you like listening to yourself? Too. I always like to ask people because it's weird. I know when you have to listen to yourself. For me anyway.
To some degree. I mean, but also not, you know, I listen to myself. But I have learned to stop listening to myself critically when a song is already done, right? Because there's so many things you're just like, oh man, I wish I would have done that differently. But now I look at it as stage of who I was then versus who I am now. Like, I think if I recorded it now, it'd be different. I can appreciate it now, listening back and not kind of be over critical of myself, because I think it's a lot of us musicians, we're plenty critical of ourselves. So I think it's it can become toxic after a while, and to be over so critical of yourself. But I guess I can enjoy listening to myself now. I remember I would be giving disclaimers like, oh well, you know, that was the years ago, but you know, now I'm just kind of I just accept it, you know.
We are our own worst critics. I completely understand that, because like, okay, well, you know, this is what you would have got, but this is what you're going to get. I do that a lot. So, you're right. It's, you got to learn to, it's done, it's playing. You just be yourself. And if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
Right. And they don't hear what you hear most of the time. They're not listening to you so critically, you know, usually. Mm-hmm. People just aren't doing that, you know.
Yeah, so they're jamming to the groove. That's what the first thing they hear usually is, that dun, whatever you're playing, that's the first thing they usually hear.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't listen to you as critical. The same way that I'm sure even the biggest artists out there listen to themselves critically. And if you watch interviews, they definitely do. And so people don't notice that, you know, they're nobody else is criticizing them the way they criticize themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah,
I really like the way you kind of blended the rock aspect with the reggae. I mean, you kind of Van Halen. People didn't see the video because we're doing audio, but if you guys go look on his YouTube, Jordan Gillis on YouTube, you'll see him playing. It's got a little Van Halen kind of influence where you're sitting there and you're just tapping on the strings and you're playing. Yeah. And I like that. What chord difference is it? Like reggae music is its own kind of style. So what was the chord progression stuff that you were playing in there?
But I don't know if can you hear that guitar at all?
I can hear a little bit, but it'll drop the sound of it. You'll play it and then it'll drop the sound.
Yeah, maybe I'll, what about now?
I can hear it, but it's muffled still.
Still muffled, okay.
Yeah.
Basically, the chords of it are a minor progression that started off as kind of a soul thing, and then it went into I just kind of turned it to like a reggae vibe, basically. So you know, I don't know if you'll hear it, but it basically the chords, you know, kind of goes like that, and I just kind of changed the rhythm to kind of being. And I kind of changed up the vibe of it to more of a reggae sound.
Okay. Yeah, a little different strumming pattern.
Yep, a different strumming pattern. And then there's a bunch of different chords. There's a couple of different chord progressions in the song.
Yeah, I like to listen to that stuff because, as you can tell, I like to hear new music. I know when I don't know a lot about theory. I learn by ear. I play by ear. That's how I learned. I took a few lessons to get the basics. My grandfather, my papa taught me GCD. And then I learned the way I would learn is I would take songs like the Eagles. I love the Eagles. So I'd get like the, now you can go to guitar tabs and look it up. But then I would just grab like the sheet music and I would see the chord progression. I'm like, okay, they know their theory. I'm just going to copy their chord progression and write a song.
Right.
And that's what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I actually like music theory somehow. I understand it to a good degree, still sometimes I'll just, you know, play something and you have to be able to separate your brain from the music sometimes because your brain can ruin it. So it's kind of go with the feel, but I do like music. So I'll write it something and then I'll figure out what it was that I did. I have two separate places that I put theory and songwriting, you know?
Yeah. And we're breaking like, the band is playing at a concert on Tuesday and my original drummer, he kept having accidents and he kept getting hurt. So I was like, you know what? You're going to sit this one out. We're going to get somebody else to drum. Well, my daughter, and her friends, they're in course, right? For like middle school. They've got a kid there. He's probably 13 years old, maybe 14. His name is Nathan and he's like perfect pitch and he plays drums and he's not really autistic, but he has a hard time communicating, but through music, he's fine. He's great, you know, but he's like really, really, really fast and he really wants to play. So I was like, okay, you're really good. Come play with us for the show. I'll let you on the stage. You get to play in front of people. And so he's learning how to play our songs and he has to learn that it's less is more, right? You got to do because he's really good on theory and he knows all the words and he's with sheet music. And he can tell you all that stuff, but he has to find the feel. And I think he's finding it because he's listening to how the band plays and where he's supposed to put certain stuff and not like go like, you know, doesn't got to go crazy with the feels.
Right.
Sometimes it's really simple and you learn that as you go. But I guess I see the growth in people like that. And it's just amazing to watch. I know theory has its place and you should learn it. But there's something about feeling the song. I couldn't tell you theory from Spanish. It's good, you know. I'm probably doing it and I'm more than likely sure I'm doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it. I just know what I hear and that's kind of where I do it.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. No, it's funny you mentioned that you had a student who's maybe autistic or something. I mean, or not a student, but a person, and he's maybe autistic, or because I had a student just like that, had perfect pitch and pretty similar, just kind of he'd play really, really fast and but he, you know, the amazing thing about him, he was super smart and he could read something in Spanish and read it back to you in English right there or translate it from English to Spanish. It was really cool. Like how he could. So he was a really smart kid and he had perfect pitch. But yeah, I mean, even teaching him, I would turn his guitar down. So I tell him, stop fiddling while I'm talking. So when I'd be telling him, I'd just sit there. He'd be fiddling, turn his guitar down while I'm talking to him. Because he couldn't control himself. He'd just keep fiddling and keep noodling. And so, you know, and I'm just like, you know, the most important thing about music is listening, you know,
Yes.
And so, you know, and trying to get them to understand that, you know, that it's not about what you play, you know. Like so, sometimes when you're talking to somebody and you say, okay, so we're going to, I like students that are hesitant to play, you know, just, but the ones that are just, as soon as you tell them, they're already trying to play what you're telling them and they didn't get what you told them yet because they're not listening yet. You know, they're learning that, but they're not listening. So yeah, it's a hugely important, just listen to feel it. And then if I get a talented student, I'll even tell them, I'll say, hey, look, they'll be like, what's the strum pattern? I'm like, just, you know, what the strum pattern, just strum it because they're talented enough to where I know they can get it. Like, just listen to it. Trust your ears, trust your instinct and play what you hear. And then if you can feel it, it's like, I don't have to teach you any strum patterns because you can feel it already. And then sure enough, a lot of the really talented ones, they'll just pick it up just like that. So I'll just let them find their talent. You know, that's what I'm doing. I'm guiding them to finding their talent, you know.
See, it's funny you say the strum pattern, because that's one of the things that I like to work on for what I do. Like, I do a lot of finger picking. My guitars are too far out of the way. I do a lot of finger picking and I do a lot of like the little chugging stuff, but I love to learn new ways to play, because to me, when you play a rhythm guitar, you gotta have the right, whether it's down, down, up, whatever you want to do it. It's different each time. But to me, that's one of the hardest things I think to get, because it's like, I get so, and I still do. I get so excited. I'm playing live. I know I play too hard. So what I do is I get softer picks. So, cause I know I don't want to break my strings. I'll break the pick. Yeah. I'll break the pick every time. And I was like, I know it's cause I'm playing too hard, but I get excited. I'm singing, I'm playing, I'm into the rhythm. And that's why I get softer picks.
I need to do like you, because I use the thicker picks and I still break strings sometimes when playing. I'll break it. So I always have a second guitar in case that happens. But sometimes it happens. Yeah. You know.
Well, let's listen to one more of your songs, Jordan. Which one do you want to hear next?
This last one is called Better, and it's and this one is kind of for like the everyday person, and it's just kind of about how you know, you this one is not a music video, it's just a song, so you can all your everyday people deserve better. So than what they get. So the people you don't appreciate. I was thinking about like people that come like garbage men, like especially living in Maryland, like these guys come to your house at 3 a.m, pick up trash. Like, who, you know, but they're not thanked for that. You know, I mean, I obviously they get paid to do it, but it's not an easy job, you know, and things like that, you know, firemen, all those people that make life better for us, in general, probably deserve a little bit better.
did you know that you're my hero? Fighting all day long, now you know you deserve. I wanna give you something better. Hey, baby, you deserve much better.
I love that falsetto, man. You got a crazy high range. I don't know how you do that.
That thing. Thank you, man. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's. I don't know. I'd say vocally, I'm always at a big, really big range. Like I'm a baritone, so I can go pretty low too, but I'd say I always been envious of the vocalists who have all these vocal runs, who can just do a million runs and control that. So, but the strengths in my, so me, I have to work to develop some of these vocal runs. I have to work at that. Whereas some of these guys, it just comes naturally to them. They have such great control. And for me though, vocally, my strength is that I just have a really big, loud voice and I can sing all day. I can sing 7 days a week. My voice does not get tired. My voice is very reliable, very durable. So, and that's my vocal strength. But yeah, and not in that big range too. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, my daughter in chorus, she told me at church, she says, there's like, I guess these glands that's under your jaw. She says you should massage them, you know, after you sing, or like shake them, kind of loosen them up a little bit. And I'm like, really? And I started doing it, I was like, that really does work. Cause you can feel them, I guess they're right up underneath your jaw. Yeah. Next to your esophagus, and you guess I don't know what they called, but it worked. I'm like, that really does work.
Yeah. Man. Another thing I tell people is about the voice box. I'm like, it's literally a box with strings in your throat. So it's an instrument, just like any other instrument, and you have to learn how to play it. You know, it's a box with strings that's in your throat, you know. So
Yep, stay in your tune. Don't try to tune it different.
Yeah. Yeah, you might have a baritone guitar in your throat. You might have a mandolin in your throat. You know, whatever you got, you know, play that.
Yes.
Don't play bass with your throat if you got a mandolin up in there. You know.
I love the positive vibes of that song too. All your songs that I've heard have been pretty positive vibe sounding songs.
Oh, thank you.
I like that. And I mentioned it earlier, I thought of this cover challenge for you.
Okay.
I was going to go originally Maroon 5 because we talked about it. Like, no, that'd be too simple. So let's go with Imagine Dragons, Believer.
Believer, okay. I know it goes something.
And do it however you want to do it.
Yeah.
Just do it your way.
I don't know the song that well, but I know it kind of starts off with a something like that. I don't really know that song too well.
There's no time limit. The first line is, I have to look it up too. Whenever you want to work on it, you work on it, but no time limit.
I thought I had to learn it right on the spot.
No. I wouldn't do that to nobody. No, you got time.
I can kind of do it. First things first, I'm going to say y'all inside my head. I can kind of, something like that. I didn't listen to it, but.
Yeah. I've messed with it. I think I put it in E. I think what I do, I drop it down so it's like darker.
Right.
Because my voice, I'll let you hear some of my stuff later, but in a minute, but it's like my voice is deeper. So it's like, it's growly. It's just not, it's not made for pretty.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So we got a couple more. Like I said, I'm going to do this kind of 20 question stuff. Before we get into these kind of questions, tell everybody, Jordan, where they can find you, your social media, your websites, all that stuff.
JordanGillisBand.com is my website. And there you could be linked to all my music wherever you want, whatever platform you want to listen to it on. But you can go listen, just type my name in on Spotify or whatever your listening platform is. It's on there. So just type my name in, Jordan Gillis, and you should be able to find me. Whether you want to listen to me on YouTube, if you want to listen to me on Apple Music, whatever you choose to listen to. So just my name, Jordan Gillis, and and that's it. That's where you can find me. Yeah.
And I want to thank you. I mean, we're not quite done with this episode yet, but I want to thank you for coming on. I said, guys, you didn't know, we've had to push this back a couple of times. So I appreciate the working with me, and we got you in.
I'm completely happy to do it.
Perfect.
Anytime.
Yeah. All right. Now for some more of these 20 questions, the wheel of death, as I always call it, because you get the little.
Okay.
And I feel like random questions in here, so I don't know how they pop up. What do you want to be remembered for in life?
Well, I think I want to be remembered for being somebody who always does means what they say and is going to do what they say they're going to do. Especially, you know, in the music business in general, you meet a lot of people who talk and they say, yeah, man, let's start this or let's do that. And it just never comes into fruition. Like, if you talk to me about doing something, I'm going to do it. I mean business, and I think that's the reputation I like to that people even tell me without me saying anything. People say, well, you said you were going to do that and you did that. You said you're going to move to Alabama and you really moved there. So I like to have want to be remembered for somebody who does what they say they're going to do, and I don't just say things just to say them, you know. Really seriously mean to do whatever I say I'm going to do.
See, I love that aspect of people, because that's one of the things, like with the show. And like I said, I do this show. I started it in 2019 it started as the local Georgia, North Georgia scene, to get to talk to them and get people to hear them. I didn't even think anybody would ever listen to me. I really didn't think about it. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of blew up, and now I'm like in all over these countries, and people are coming up to me, and I'm getting them reached out. I have management groups reaching out to me. I have artists reaching out, and I love it. I love talking to them, and I tell every one of them, and I'll say the same thing to you too, is I love co-writing. I'd love to co-write people. The whole thing of music is a network community. And I know that we say it, and then everybody gets busy. I get that. That's fine. But the fact that, like I said, it's still up, guys are listening, it's still up there. If you want to write or co-write, I am more than happy to do it. Will it work? we'll give it a shot. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, co-riding is one of those things that's like a date. If it doesn't work, you know, you pay your tab and you go your own ways. That's how it works.
Absolutely.
Other times you make magic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down to do that anytime as well. Sure. And if we agree to do it, I'll be at your studio before you know it.
Yep.
You know. So I'll have to do some co-riding if you ever want to do it. So.
Absolutely. And you can do it on Zoom too. That's the good thing about it. I mean, we'll see how far away you are because we can meet. I said North Alabama. You may not be, but maybe in 30, 45 minutes away.
How long does it take you to get to Alabama, like from where you live?
Usually, depending on what part, it's like 45 minutes. So what city are you in Alabama?
I'm in a little town called Henniger. That's where I am.
Alabama. From me, let's just see. You are about an hour and 38 minutes.
Okay.
You're close to Chattanooga. You're probably between me and Chattanooga. How long does it take to get to Chattanooga?
About 45 minutes.
Yeah, it takes me an hour from here to get to Chattanooga.
Okay.
So, cool. You're not far at all.
Yeah. How do you like Chattanooga?
I actually got to play in Chattanooga. I like Chattanooga. I played when they have a Tennessee Songwriter Week. And you can go to all the different venues, and it's a competition kind of thing, and they move you forward, and it's really fun. And I got to play because I thought it was just like Tennesseans, but it's not. If you can get in, you can play. And Chattanooga had an open, and I like the music scene. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like Chattanooga too. It's a real pretty city too. Yeah,
it reminds me a lot of Rome, Georgia. If you ever been to Rome, Georgia,
Everybody's been telling me to go there, but I haven't been yet. We've been planning on going, but we just haven't gone.
There's a lot of music scene in Rome. I mean, it's an older town, but there's a lot of music scene. They're trying to build it up. And the same thing, like where I'm playing now is Woodstock. That's one of the other big venues in Georgia. And you can come do patio stuff. There's a place called Mad Life. That's where I'm playing for the band. But they do, besides the open mics, they do have like patio nights where you get to play for like 3 hours and you get paid. You may want to check into it and see if that's something you want to do.
Oh, yeah. I want to do it all.
You want to do it all?
Yes. Okay. I'm serious. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm here.
Yep.
So that's what I'm here for on this planet for. Yep.
Would you rather have endless money or endless love?
Endless love because, definitely endless love. I think that's more important. And also, I don't want to talk about money too much, but I'm kind of good at making it. You know, I can, as a business side of music is important too. And I'd like to earn the music money. I like to work for it. You know, I don't like it to be given to me. So I don't want freebies. So even now I'm working hard to, this might be kind of boring. It might be anti-music vibe what I'm about to say is, but I'm good at I take my money and I actually know how to actually invest it and trade it really well. That's part of what helps my music business is that I'm actually good at investing money a little bit. And that's why my plan is this is the last time that I'm going to be doing cover gigs. I planned for last year to be the last year, but when we moved here, you know, that cost, you know, a good amount of, money to get out of Baltimore to move down here. We bought like a 10 acre farm basically. So this is like, you know, this part is wooded, but about 4 acres of it isn't wooded. And the other, you know, and so I've always wanted to do that. I like to me, the reason why I wanted to do that is because, I feel that like, if you just work outside every day, I think that if you look at people who just live a simple life and who work outside all the time, they don't have depression issues. They don't have anxiety. They just go outside and work. They may not have very much because it's working outside is therapeutic. It's good for the body. It's good for the mind. Keeps you, you know, to me, it's like, if there's nothing, it's literally the best thing you can do is some kind of workout, some kind of physically repetitive, laborious work outside. And to me, it builds character, makes you a happier person, you know. So I wanted to be in that environment where I have to do work, you know. So, you know.
See, that's my actual job. I own a pest control company, so I work outside every day.
Okay.
So the music is my passion. And like most passions, you don't get paid for it yet. You got to find your way to make money off of it.
Yeah.
And I'll do it whether I make money or not. That's how you know that you'll love it. But I do for my, because I do pest control and I'm always doing mosquitoes or pests. Or I'm outside every day for a while. And my wife is so jealous because she works for the sheriff's office. So she's inside all the time. And she goes, I just want to get outside. And it's funny because she's into like all this self-help, forks over knives and plant-based whole food, plant-based stuff. And when we go to the doctors, I'm not, I'm into, I like my steak and I like my cheeseburgers and I like my chicken. Yeah. I like that stuff. So when we go inside, I'm just as healthy, if not healthier than she is. Outside, yeah, I need to stop eating all that stuff. But inside, I'm pretty good.
It's funny. My wife would probably really like me. Your wife, because my wife is almost a vegan. Well, she was a vegan for a little while, and then I convinced her to start eating like fish and eggs again. So, because I'm like, you need some protein or something. But yeah, my wife just pretty much works remotely. She actually, her job is still based in DC, but she works on basically remotely, so she's kind of inside all the time, you know. So yeah, it's interesting. So yeah, it's like I'm so different from my wife. It's crazy.
You gotta build her a sunroom so she can get outside.
Right, or something. Yeah.
What's the wildest thing you've ever done?
Don't do a ton of crazy stuff, to be honest.
Hey,
I guess that's the craziest thing.
You just like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, no, even when I was young, I was still very periodic, kind of just all I cared about was practicing, and if it wasn't, or playing music. So if it wasn't that, I wasn't into. Now I'm into all kind of stuff. I'm into a bunch of homesteading stuff. I like to do homesteading. So I'm into that. That's my other hobby. But back then I didn't, you know, all I cared about was guitar and that was it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I got one more question for you, Jordan. Always any interview on this question. What's the best advice that you've ever received?
This is a whole nother story about something in my life, but, basically, I was with a certain group of people up until I was very young, and somebody told me, this group of people I was with was my whole life, basically. And they basically told me, they said, you know, there's more to life than these people. There's a whole world out here, and you should kind of figure out what that is. Basically, you know, there's a lot of people grow up in a life where this is one thing is all they know. Mm. And I grew up in a life like that. And so I'm the black sheep in the family by far, in my family, you know. So when somebody told me that, you know, I think that was the best advice, because that kind of advice is what allowed me to wake myself up and to go out and see what's going on out in this big world that we live in, you know. Mm.
I like that. That's good advice for somebody. Yeah. I always ask that because there may be somebody listening who that's advice for them. You know, a lot of times similar songwriters say similar stuff. I mean, it happens. That's fine. But yeah, somebody may be listening. And that's why I always ask that question.
You're cool.
Well, I want to thank you again for coming on.
All right. Happy to be here.
So tell everybody one more time they can find Jordan and we'll kind of talk off air. Go ahead.
Jordan Gillis band.com, and you can find, just type in my name, Jordan Gillis, G-I-L-L-I-S, how you spell the last name. You can type in Jordan Gillis band or just type in my name and I'll come up on YouTube. You can find me on Spotify or any other streaming platform just by typing my name in, Jordan Gillis.
Everybody, this is Georgia Songbird, and that was Jordan Gillis. And again, Jordan, thank you for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me.